Well, Brother Crawford is gone. We're glad to have Brother Greg Renz come. He needs basically no introduction, but let me just tell you how the Lord has blessed in our lives. Both of us were called into the ministry from the same church, the Haven Baptist Church in Haven, Kansas, during a time of revival, a church that I later on had the opportunity to pastor before coming here. Our wives got to know each other while I was in boot camp, and later when I got back, we got to know each other more. Went to Bible college together in 1970 and graduated, and they, Greg and Barbara, went on to be missionaries to Guatemala for 16, 17 years, I believe. And I pastored. Wherever I went to pastor, they seemed to follow needing support. I'm not sure how that happened. But anyway, we've grown to know each other, love each other, and be good friends. Brother Greg has served the United States Air Force in Vietnam, served at the Da Nang Air Base, and was instrumental in signaling the base of an attack that was coming by the Vietnamese, and for his bravery in action received the Bronze Star. Greg and I have ended up settling down and retiring within a couple of blocks of each other. We just can't get away from each other. And so we were over at the Boswell Ranch, just not far from Boat Club Road and Bailey Boswell Road. And now we live, like I said, across from each other. So we give each other rides, take each other out to eat and all the kind stuff. But more than all of that, I count Brother Greg Renz a good friend. Brother Greg, would you come ahead and preach for us, sir? God bless you. $5 later for that introduction.
Can't win for losing. By the way, this, despite popular opinion, here I am. Despite popular opinion, we are not the dynamic duo. Maybe I'd rather be Robin. I don't know. Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I really do. And, you know, when you retire from the pastorate, you don't retire from being a preacher. And you may not be able to preach as often as you did before, and you kind of miss that. Don't miss all the pressure now, but I miss that. So I'm glad that Brother Crawford has given me the opportunity tonight to just bring God's Word to you. You know, as I was thinking about our missions conference coming up starting Sunday, and about the how the world is a field, is a mission field, including the United States. But I've also thought about this, that the time that most Christians spend on the job, that's a great mission field in itself. And most of you know that because of the coworkers that you have around you that are lost. So I want to take your attention this evening to Proverbs chapter 14. And I want to read verse 23 as our jumping off point. Proverbs 14, verse 23. The Bible says here, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury, which is poverty. Look at this again. In all labor there is profit. Heavenly Father, we ask that you just help us to focus our attention tonight on this subject and looking into your word, that we might see, Lord, the importance of the Christian in the workplace. And Father, tonight we realize that not only in church or with our family, but also in our work, that we are to honor and glorify you. And Lord, we give you the praise for the opportunities that you've given us. Now bless the night, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there may be some who feel that when they're off work, that's when they can really serve God. And if you feel that way, I want you to consider this. What happens is that you end up giving your prime time to your employer, and then God gets whatever time's left over. Now think about that for a minute, because that's important. Most of us, when we're working, that takes the greater part of our day, does it not? And nowadays, to knock on doors or to visit homes, one thing you'll notice, it can be 7 o'clock at night and there are lots of people not home from work yet. And so what I'm saying is it takes up a large amount of our time each day, those that work at a secular job, especially. And you know, I know this too, that Christians sometimes complain about the type of people they have to work with. And I understand that also. I've worked around them. You have to put up with the foul language and dirty jokes and just the snide remarks and the backstabbing and backbiting that goes on in a lot of workplaces. And we get to thinking, you know, I wish I could work in some Christian business or company or organization. And, you know, it'd sure be nice to work there and just experience that type of environment. But, you know, here's the thing. You are not there where you are. You're not there where you are just because you have to work. Because you need to think about it this way. God put you in that place so that you could serve Him there. And God put you in that place that you might be a testimony for Him and to those that you work around. And, of course, the Bible tells us that we are to let our light shine in every place that God puts us. And we need to consider our jobs as really the lampstand that God has ordained for you to let your light shine. And it should be that. Now, you may think there's nothing exciting about your job, but I want to tell you that God takes ordinary people and He gives them extraordinary power to do extraordinary things for His glory. So there's amazing things that can even happen in the workplace as we honor God in doing our work and also being a testimony to those that are around us. And since we spend so much time in the workplace, I know after a while it gets boring. I had to work through a temp agency for a while when I was in between ministries. One of the places I went to work at was a bulk mail center over in Coppell. I want to tell you, I disliked that tremendously. Some time back there was quite a few work-related shootings in the post office. I remember that back then. And after working there, I can understand why. You know, I could understand why that happened. I don't agree with it, but I can understand why that happened. But, you know, it does get that way sometimes. But if you're a Christian, can I tell you that your work is to be the temple of your devotion and the platform of your witness? And every one of us as Christians is a minister doing full-time Christian service. We should never get into this position where we divide our life up between the spiritual side and the secular side. Because to be honest with you, our whole life is spiritual. And I think you understand what I'm saying. And so even when you go to work, there's a spiritual aspect there also. And so I want you to consider with me tonight some thoughts that I believe would help you to have a different view of the place where you work and the job that you do. Now, understand that every day work in God's eyes is sacred. Your job does not become sacred when you become a pastor or a missionary or full-time staff member of a church. Every job, if it is done in the power of the Holy Spirit, is a sacred job. And you know, in the Bible, a good example of what we're talking about here is Daniel. And as you remember that he was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and carried off to Babylon from Israel. And there he ended up in a secular job as a government bureaucrat. That's basically what he was. And Daniel says in chapter 8, verse 27, that after I was sick certain days, afterward I rose up and did the king's business. Now, one thing I understand about Daniel is that, yes, he was dedicated, devoted to Jehovah God. At the same time, as a Christian, he was also very serious about the work that he did for the king. He was very responsible in what he did because that's where he was placed and that is what he was given while he was there. And so the government trained him, then pressed him into service. And you know, when you read about Daniel, you read that account, you quickly pick up on the fact that his ordinary line of work, in that ordinary line of work, he still served God. And when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, you remember, for refusing to bow down to another god, the king and many of others came to believe in Almighty God. And that was the result of his faithfulness to the Lord. He did his job. I mean, he was dead serious about the job that he was doing. And he did it well. He did it right. And he was all business with his work. But yet, he was in his spiritual life. It just flowed out in his workplace. And that's what it ought to do for all of us. Now, if you work in the name of Jesus, unto His glory, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, listen, you will receive the same reward for doing that job that someone in the ministry will receive for doing their job. So every Christian, wherever we serve, is in full-time Christian service. I think for whatever reason, in the past, that was never fully taught to us, the fact that when you become a Christian, your life then becomes completely a spiritual thing. Amen. That means from the moment you get saved, from the moment you get up every day till you lay your head down and get up again, all day long, your life is a spiritual and it is a ministry to the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Within this, there is the witness of everyday work. The Bible says, let your light shine. Now, you understand that it doesn't say, make it shine, nor our light is to, because our light is to glow and not glare. People are to see the light, not the source of the light. That happens in the workplace, and I have seen that with Christians who do not have an understanding of their place as a witness and think that they should go into the workplace and completely rearrange everything and get everybody on the bandwagon as to being spiritual or religious. I want to tell you, that's not our purpose. That's not our purpose. Because if you go to work with an air of self-righteousness, you're not going to make friends out of your coworkers. I guarantee you that. In fact, they won't even want to be around you. They won't want to be around you wherever that you might work. You're going to find that they'll decide to go somewhere else. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 and 31, it says this, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth or boasts, let him glory or boast in the Lord. We're not there to boast of our spirituality. We're not there to boast about how much we go to church or anything along that line, because that's not what they need to hear. And really, that kind of thing is a waste of time. It's a waste of their time, and it's a waste of the time the person that is witnessing in that way. And it is because of him that you and I are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God, which is shown through his righteousness, his holiness, and the redemption that he has purchased for us. So, in other words, if you're going to glory or boast, the Bible says, let him that glorieth, let him boast in the Lord. That's what it's all about. He gets the praise. He gets the boast. And we as John the Baptist, we just are in the background and doing what we are called to do. Now, witnessing at work can be done and still give your boss a full day's work. And as it is in any place, witnessing takes tact. And if you're always bringing up your lost workers' bad habits and their wrong lifestyle, their sins, you're not going to win that person to Christ. You may think that that's what they need, but that person won't take any steps closer to the Lord Jesus Christ with that kind of witness. And you see, their behavior is not their problem, right? It's not their problem. Because if you think about it this way, we were once just like them before we were saved. All the things that we were doing, it wasn't our lifestyle that was a problem. The problem was that we and they at work need the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply him, and that's it. And in Colossians chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6, the Bible says this, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And then it says this, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. There's the key in witnessing right there. You need to know Bible, that's true. But you also need to know how to communicate with people, because that is where you're able to get into their space and be able to talk to them and be able to be a friend with them with the purpose at some point guiding them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, may I say to you that your witnessing should be done when it doesn't interfere with your work or the work of your co-worker. That's an important thing. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that going to work and then kind of hanging around your machine or your desk and spending great time just grabbing a hold of people and trying to witness to them and talking to them about this, that, or the other thing. That's not what you're there for. But that doesn't mean you can't witness. And so completing the job that you were hired for is the primary concern that you ought to have. Do a good job. Work hard so that you're not a disgrace to grace. And the Bible says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, from the heart, as to the Lord. And that makes a whole difference in our attitude with work when we're doing it as to the Lord. Is that all right? It is. And so your job may be boring or dull as far as work is concerned. But it won't be if you are working to the glory of God. And we ought to always do our best for him, no matter what. But you know, there's also the service of everyday work, and I want you to think about this, because a lot of people wonder, you know, does work have any eternal significance? I mean, I go there day in and day out. Does it have any eternal significance? And, you know, thinking about it, Daniel may have wondered about that as he was handling taxation and laws and public relations and buying and selling for the king. But nevertheless, he served God continually. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 16, you'll notice that it says this: "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions." Now listen. "Now the king spake and said unto Daniel," listen, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." How did the king know that? How did he know that Daniel served the Lord continually? How did he know that? And then you go over to or down to verse 20, and it says this: "And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God," now listen, "whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" How did he know that? He knew that because he saw him at work. He saw how he was at work. And I hope that can be said of us also. We ought to be a different type of employee as compared to the normal. And as you know in your work, that the quality of workers, especially in the younger ones, has gone way down. They're not dependable as they used to be. Isn't that right? They're not dependable as they used to be. They don't seem to be focused on the purpose that they're there. All they want is to gain some income so that they can go about and live their life the way they want. And they realize they can't do it without any money, so they go to work. And as it's been my experience, if you listen to them talk, a lot of times they're talking about what they're going to do after they leave work on Friday. That's what they're focused on. And so a lot of times their work is not quality. It's just done. And that is an example of what happens when you're not serving and working for the Lord. That's what will take place. And so, if you know you're serving the Lord, I guarantee you that will put dignity in whatever you're doing. Even if it's changing oil in cars. Even if it's kicking cows around. Right? Whatever it may be. You know, digging ditches, going over accounts. And I think we simply need to tell the Lord, "I'm doing it for you, Lord, and I'll do it with all my might." I mean, I'll do it with all my might, as much as any missionary or pastor or evangelist. And that should be our attitude at work. It will give a job, I guarantee you, a whole new dynamic. You know, I worked at some jobs that, to me, they were kind of boring. There was one time when I worked for Johnson & Johnson in their warehouse over in Arlington. It's in that area there where the old Southwest Airport used to be. Now it's all kinds of businesses and whatnot there. And I can remember working there, and it was difficult for me because I'm being in the ministry and I wasn't in it at that time, and I wanted back in it, but you know, you got to wait till God works things out. And so I began to work at that job, and it was basically order picking, something that I detest. In fact, at one time, I work for Hardcore Brace. It's now Hardcore, I think, which is a textbook distributing company. And I disliked having to run up and down the aisles pulling books out and putting them in and getting them like that all day long. You just pulling books out. Bored me to death. But I did it. I did it. And, you know, as time went on, there were a lot of things got to me and I got frustrated. And I remember one time that I let the frustration get to me and I kind of got a little agitated. I didn't get mad at anybody, I just got agitated. And here's an example of the fact that whether you think they are or not, people are watching you. And when that happened, I knew right away that this was not good. It doesn't honor the Lord. It doesn't help me any to get agitated like that. And it wasn't long when this girl driving a forklift that I knew wheeled around by me and she said, "Wow, I never thought you'd do that. Man, you talk about humble you. You talk about wanting to crawl out of the warehouse and somehow disappear. That did it. But it also reminded me that I need to always be careful and keep focused because I was there getting agitated because of the work I was doing and I wasn't focusing on the fact that God put me there. And that was where I was to serve Him. And I have experienced that since that time. I've worked at jobs that I didn't really care for. But, you know, I could get up in the morning and look forward to going there for only one reason. And that was because I wanted to honor God and serve Him there. And even though that the work was not something that I enjoyed doing, I didn't appreciate some of the things that went on around there. And in fact, it got some bad language one time. I had to go to the supervisor and say, "Hey, this is a business. You're bringing people in from hospitals and clinics to look over the warehouse processing." And I said, "You have guys out there that got terrible, terrible foul mouths. And I don't think that would be conducive to good business. Got to know how to talk to the boss, you know." And but I mean, you have that time, those kind of things going on. But still, I look forward to going there for that reason. That took the edge off of everything. It really did. It took the edge off. So what I'm saying to you tonight is that when you go to work and you go to work for the Lord, it makes all the difference. And, you know, because we belong to the Lord, He wants us to prosper wherever He plants us. And every Christian is a priest, the priesthood of the believer. He's a priest of God, a minister of God, and in full-time Christian service. And folks, let me say, if that doesn't ring your bell, you need to replace your clapper. You know that? Because just thinking about that, we tend to get excited about serving the Lord in different aspects of our life, going out maybe to visit, doing things here in the church. But then, oh my, I got to go to work. But you see, that's a service place where you spend a lot of time. And I know this, that once they realize that you're for real, takes a while sometimes, but once they realize you're for real, you will not hear so much the snide remarks that are made. When I was in college, studying for the ministry, I was working in a machine shop. And, of course, they were calling me the preacher. And they weren't saying that in a polite way. And but that didn't make any difference to me, man. I was getting ready to serve the Lord, and I had to have a place to work, and I wanted to honor the Lord there. And so I just did my work, and I was civil to those that are around me. And, you know, after a period of time, a lot of that stuff started to calm down. When they realized, because see, there was another student from another denomination that worked there. And he had a tendency to do some things that were not very good, at least for a Christian to be doing. And I noticed that they didn't cut him any slack. And I felt sorry for the guy. And one time I tried to kind of talk to him, but he got a little defensive, so I thought that wasn't a good idea. But anyway, remember, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And that's why Ephesians 3:20 tells us God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And yes, most of the people with whom you work are not all that interested in going to heaven or hell. They just want to get through Monday and the rest of the week. And so when you come in on Monday morning without a hangover and the joy of the Lord Jesus on your face, they're going to ask you, "What's up with you? How come you're so happy?" Almost like you shouldn't be, but you are. And at that moment, you got an entrance. And you'll be able to share the Lord Jesus Christ with them because you have sanctified or honored the Lord in your heart, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, and you will be able then to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of your hope and your happiness. I hope that if you've been having some problems at work, as far as dreading to get up every morning, go there, it's not really the place I want to be, but I got to have a job. Just remember who you're working for. We tend to focus in working for our employer, and we are when we're at work. But over and above that, we're working for the Lord Jesus Christ, day in, day out. And our job will give us income, but it will not give us rewards other than the hope of someone coming to know Christ because you were there. Let's bow our head. Father, we just ask that you would cement these truths into our hearts. And I pray that if there's any here tonight that are having some problems or difficulties at work, their attitude or, Lord, their enthusiasm has begun to wane in at work and in doing their work. I pray that tonight, from what we have seen from your word, that this will change things and that they may be able to go to work and to realize that this is an important day to serve the Lord in the workplace. So, Father, now you just speak and Lord, deal with us as we need to be dealt with, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Would you stand, please?